Hello, and welcome to episode 554 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LTA and LEC Split 2 format previews, along with the LEC Week 1 preview. This episode is lovingly entitled, Cowards Beware! Fearless continued. I'm your host, Genghis, and I'm joined by three esteemed co-hosts. Up first, fresh out of the can, we got Badger.
Patreon plug. Listen to the Patreon episode.
There we go, yep.
Because I was about to say first strike's over, now we're getting back into the regular season, and I'm like, God damn it, it's still first stand.
It's not first strike. It's first
not
stand.
First strike.
You've led me astray
name.
From the last time.
We're free of the first strike, first stand mix-up shackles. We can move on to MSI, which is not the mid-season tournament anymore. It's
true. We also have joining us here the one that noticed it is not first strike and is actually first stand and put us back on course. We got Bickle.
Yeah, with that little comment, I showed up more for first stand than Team Liquid did.
Ooh. Oh my god.
Ooh, hey, they beat EU, and you know, that's all we needed from them at the end of the day.
And finished bottom of the barrel.
Doesn't matter. That does matter. But they still beat EU. So, you know, I'll take what I can get. We also have joining us, I don't know if you're also just going to dunk on Team Liquid. Are we just dunking on Team Liquid? We got RMC on the cast.
No, listen to the Patreon content for me dunking on Team Liquid.
Okay.
Instead, I'll dunk on what Kangas was dunking on before as well, which is with first stand now, why is it still MSI? MSY.
MSY. Yeah, so when MSI first came out, it made sense. There were two splits, but only one international event. So just put another international event in the middle of the year, call it the mid-season invitational. Well, now we have three splits. It's not in the middle of the competitive year anymore. So what's up with that, you know? Doesn't make sense. It's no longer MSI. It's now the two-thirds SI. You know, working title. We'll come up with something
working
that. But
title.
Either way, we got some global news to get into before we cover all of the format changes and preview LEC Week 1. Actually, kind of a lot of news. This is off season, and we've been banking a couple of LEC roster changes for this episode just to kind of cover all that in one go. But first off, just confirming the LTA Split 2 format has updated. That is now official. There was a lot of teasing for it. I wasn't able to say anything officially, but now you can see the whole Mark Z explanation of what the format is, or you can just listen to this episode because we'll cover it all here. And also LEC Spring Split confirmed with the road trips now announced, which was something that they kind of covered before. There's going to be a couple of road shows that aren't from the Berlin studios. We'll have all that information here too. But for roster news, Badger, there were a lot of things going on in the LEC, and now it's time to talk about all of them. Up first is actually a team bit of news here. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, so did they play in Challengers? I think in EU Challengers, I think they did. Na'Vi is coming over and supposedly in negotiations to buy Rogue's spot. So we got plus Rogue, minus Rogue, plus Rogue, minus Rogue, plus Rogue, minus Rogue again, technically, in the timeline. I'm trying to think how many times Rogue has either sold their spot and rebranded and then went back to their original brand in this LEC run, but
it's been a lot. It's been a lot.
Quote unquote new blood coming in. Maybe they'll finally get rid of that fraud Larson and not have to worry. And I don't have to worry about watching him play for the rest of, you know, the year when this happens. I don't think did they say anything about if it's going to happen before? I mean, it's 2 days away from LEC starting for spring, so I would imagine.
So the news broke as of this recording. I'm pretty sure it was yesterday. Like, this is pretty fresh news. So I don't imagine it's going to be for Split 2. But it could happen in the middle. I mean, that has happened before. Remember, yeah. CLG got bought by NRG technically during the split. Or they weren't even bought. It was like they were just gifted it, right?
Yes.
But, like, the change happened. Ownership changed, but then the next split is when the rebrand happened. So it could be something like that. You never know, where, like, okay, they sell the spot. They're still Rogue for this split, but now new management comes in, starts working on the rebrand, and then I think this also happened with Clutch when Dignitas bought Clutch. They, like, had them for a bit of overlap there. So there's been precedent in the past for how that looks, but I don't think that we're going to see Na'Vi in spring split. I think we would see them in summer if this does go through.
Out of curiosity, I looked this up. The last time we saw Navis Vincere in the League of Legends scene, they were playing in the open qualifiers for the EU Challenger scene back in 2016. They did not do well. Before that, the last time we saw them was in Champions Summer 2012.
That's right. Wow. They played in Champions. I forgot about that.
I forgot about Champions.
They had Citizen Wayne was on their team, wasn't he?
How the fuck do you know that?
Yeah, what the hell, dude? That's a wild. I don't even know who that is. That's insane that you just have information like that in your head.
I'm so glad everyone got to see my autism happen in like real time on the podcast. Thank you, everybody, listening.
Hell yeah. Hey, I'll honest, I love that
really
for you.
Fucking impressive.
Yeah. Well, who's the rest of the roster, Badger? Can you name anybody else?
No, I can name one player on that roster.
I can name
the angler. Cotton X.
It was Cotton X. Yep. Okay.
What is happening? Guys, this was 13 years ago.
Champions 2012 summer was fantastic. What are you talking about?
Yeah, COG was in there. Dignitas was in there.
It was really damn good.
All right, well, that was well before my time. I missed out.
They had two CLG rosters in there. Come on, guys.
Yeah, you and it's CLG Prime and CLG EU. Like, come on. Shit.
All right, you know what? You know, who wants to go back at some point and on stream rewatch all those games with me? Educate me on what I missed out on.
I'm down, honestly. That Patreon content, we watch an old LCK game.
That would be pretty fun.
Honestly, let's go back to the glory days.
Yeah, where CLG EU was actually good, and they actually almost won that league.
Oh, okay, so there's another thing that I wanted to do at some point, because I recently discovered that Hawk, another member who hasn't been on for a while, but will occasionally be on the podcast here, he had never seen Renegades versus...
Dignitas?
Dig? Yeah, he never saw that game, so he doesn't know that game, and I was like, dude, I need to watch that game with you. Not the highlights. Not even just the moment at the Herald or at the turret. We need to watch the whole game. It's all bad. Okay, well, that's a lot of time on news. Shout out to Na'Vi, though, if they do take the spot, because, you know, they're a super historied org, as you're all talking about. 2012 back in League of Legends. I know them mostly through, like, Counter-Strike. I know they had a really popular Counter-Strike team. But
they still
do. It's a cool org to have come in. And then, presumably, SK could take solo possession of worst team in the LAC. So, that, you know, good for them. Depending on what Na'Vi does with the roster, of course, but... a couple other player swap-ups happened here. RMC, there's a lot of it. How confident are you in just kind of covering the hot potato that has been Yzma in the offseason?
Yzma really got passed around. Let's be honest for a second.
I mean, you're talking about SK taking sole possession of bottom place. Yzma might have dodged a bullet because Yzma's been traded all around. I'm going to be honest, like I was very confused about what happened because I was still like, okay, SK is trading Yzma to KC Blue. But I thought Yukino got signed by KC Blue like a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Turns out he got traded to KC Blue because Yzma is not going to be on KC Blue. After being traded to KC Blue, he's now been picked up by another team. Giant X is picking up because Closer has stepped down for undisclosed personal reasons. Hopefully everything's fine for him. So now Yzma, who was supposed to go to KC Blue from SK, is now on Giant X.
And like you said, Yukino was picked up. He's an NA jungler who's been kind of hyped up, along with players like Yuji as potentially the next generation of jungle talent. Actually got scouted by a couple EU teams and was picked up by them. And Bukata, I think I'm saying the right, Bukata, the KC Blue jungler, is going to be playing for SK now. So SK got a new jungler. We'll see how things work out for them. Yzma's over on Giant X. I think that is a strict downgrade for Giant X. So that's tough for them. But the roster news doesn't stop there either, because Bickle, SK, they just keep the hits coming, you know? they wanted more.
Oh yeah. So we already talked about the fact that SK is going to have some changes. But so tell me, Kangas, who was the best player on SK this past split?
Ooh, that's not even close. It was Rahel. Like, see, that, yeah. You know, there was no question about it.
The only good spot on that team, the only player doing something of notice. So what is the logical step if you have one player who is playing so much better than the rest of your team?
Well, you're already getting a jungler.
Try and make changes around him to boost him up and let him flourish. B, keep the same roster, see if they can build some synergy. Or C, bench him.
Well, considering that they were the tied for last place, didn't make playoffs, and they only had one good-looking player, I would go with option A. I would choose to... You're already getting a new jungler. Just get some other pieces to move around and see if maybe like a better support to combo with him.
Well, congratulations, Kangas. D. You officially know more than the general manager of SK, because they went with the clueless option that is C. They have benched their only good player. Rahel will not be playing due to some communication issues. And they have brought in Kaidui, or however you want to pronounce it, from the EU Master scene.
But hold on. Maybe there's a plan here, because we see this in meat sports all the time, as Kang likes to call it.
Yeah, I love it.
Maybe SK is playing the long con, right? They're, it's a rebuilding split. They're tanking the season so they get first draft pick next split.
I like it. Except there are no drafts, and that doesn't apply to our sport. But
what? I thought we said the theme for today was fearless draft. This looks pretty fearless to me.
You know,
it was certainly a fearless decision. SK misunderstood it. They thought you had to change a player every game. No, you just have to change the champions every game.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Once you played a player, you can no longer play him for the rest of the game.
That would be wild, by the way. But that actually was something that came up in discussions of like, hey, we saw how good things looked for the Oysters at first stand having two different top laners. What if teams start to do this? I don't think that this is that type of move where they're going to have two different AD carries to play different champ pools. But theoretically, from my understanding, Rahel is just benched. He is still receiving salary. He is still eligible to play. They just are using, I don't know exactly how to say his name. I think it's Kedui. But anyway, he's a 24-year-old German EME player who won LFL Summer 2024 with JNX, who is their top laner. So there's already a bit of synergy between those two. Shout out to Skewmond, Reeker, and Perus, who are also on that BDS Academy roster.
SK's got 3/5 of that. They have JNX, Reeker, and Kadui on their team.
Yeah. Oh, right. I wasn't even thinking about. Yeah. Reeker's also on this roster. Wouldn't be surprised if this was like, oh, this is the only guy that didn't get promoted from that roster that won Summer.
You know, Kangas, I bet those three are the reason they won. They won the LFL. Not Skewmond in Paris, who went on to top tier LEC teams.
Could not imagine it being Skewmond. There's no way it was Skewmond, right? Like,
you know, the guy who stepped into G2, who they willingly made a replacement for after winning back-to-back-to-back-to-back titles. No way. Couldn't.
Hey, they didn't win that last title. Am I right? Hey,
Skewmond didn't win. You know, like so obviously dragging G2 down, right? That's how that works.
He only made finals and beat them in the upper bracket. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We'll see how things work out for SK. But that's the big kind of roster shakeup. Outside of that, I mean, we already covered Niski coming in for Hillisang for support for Vitality. Those are the big changes in the LEC. We haven't had anything happen in the LTA yet. There are a couple of rumors floating around. I haven't heard any that are like super substantiated, but a lot of people are talking about it. Team Liquid could be looking at new junglers for Umpty. It would be a bold time to do it, but from my understanding, I don't think Impact and Core take up an import slot, so theoretically they could just sign another jungler, still have Umpty around, but try somebody else out, and then just go with whoever they think is going to give them the best shot for Worlds. But I know Team Liquid's also a team that wants to make it to MSI and EWC, which we'll cover more of, like, kind of format. Those are kind of tied together for North America. So,
yeah.
They got to perform now.
I'm sorry. I just got to squeeze this one in because you said rumor, and that just triggered me because LTA South has a rumor moving down. That's a roster change that's happening down there.
Oh, okay. You know, I love it. Yeah, hey, you know what? Shame on me for not including the LTA South update.
Am I right?
And if we're talking about global news, how can we not talk about the chaos that is T1?
Oh, the trucks.
The trucks.
Trucks are back, baby.
You know,
trucks
I didn't include a part for that to cover in this episode, but it's this episode's mostly just kind of talking about format and the predictions, so there's not going to be a lot of meat. Let's cover it. Who wants to go? Do you just want to give us the
so
Spark Knights?
So, basically, TLDR of the situation, Smash was outplaying Gumayushi in the LCK Cup leading into First Strike, and T1 management was basically
it's not First
like,
Strike, it's First Standing, motherfucker. So who says
as
that?
I was saying, T1 management decided to put out a statement and say, yeah, Smash was looking really good and was the better player, but we're going to stick with Gumayushi for the brand, basically. And everyone's just like, yep. I'm sorry, for the brand? Do you know what those four stars above your fucking logo is? It's winning. Winning is your brand. Smash was winning. Why are we benching Smash?
Joe March himself stepped in and basically said, we're going to play Gumayushi. It doesn't matter that Smash has been playing better in scrims behind the scenes and outplaying Gumayushi and all things considered. We're going to be playing Gumayushi. Doesn't matter. You know, don't listen to your coaches or your people that you hire to make those decisions. You're the person in charge of T1. You can absolutely make that decision. And you sure as hell didn't add any more flames to the fire than it's the Zeus situation that happened over the season. Because, dear God, that's on fire, too.
Yeah, so it's a really bad look for a owner, CEO, to be coming in and making a roster move like this against the wishes of the coaching staff and presumably the rest of the roster. My read of the situation, though, because T1 has transcended esports in a way that we can't even like have a comparable example in the North America sphere. I think the closest you could even think about would be like, you know, like Bjergsen or Doublelift being recognized and like having successful streaming careers. But these guys are literally like on TV. They're national icons. They're like K-pop star levels of fame. So from a business standpoint, if you have sponsors that sign up for your team expecting a certain roster and a player like Gumayushi to be a face of the team and of the brand, and then coaching staff makes a change to that player, I can understand brands and sponsors being upset, but then that doesn't excuse the decision. It's just like giving context as to why I think a decision like that would be made. I don't think it's because of community backlash. I think that's a scapegoat, and instead it's a business decision of like, oh shit, we have like people, like sponsors, like the money is getting affected if we don't play Gumayushi. That's my read.
Understand
on
the situation. 100%. That. If it's not the fact that they've had this exact situation before and it's what gave them Gumayushi. Gumayushi wasn't the starter when he was with T1. Teddy was. He took Teddy's job. It's what happened with Zeus. He took that job, Tom. This is a situation that T1 has experienced before, has had great success from, but instead they're saying, nah, screw the rookie.
I don't think it's comparable because Teddy was not at the level of fame and stardom that Guma is currently.
Yeah, and I think that's where when Kangas is talking about business decisions, I think that's what exactly is motivating this. The fact that Guma's face sells, Teddy's didn't, unfortunately. And that's why this happened. Because if we're talking about, okay, if it's pressure from the fans, well, guess what? When they benched Gumayushi, they got sent trucks. When they unbenched Gumayushi, they get sent trucks. So I think from a fan pressure perspective, T1's going to get it no matter what they do. Any change they make to their roster, they're probably going to get hate for it. So if that's going to be the case, then there's only two things to look at. One is winning, and the other is your business, right? And in this case, Joel Marsh, like he made a choice for the business side of it.
Yep. I don't know if you can let us know in the community Discord if you agree or disagree with my take. In my opinion, though, this seems like a business call of sponsors were upset. Like, I could imagine if you're an energy drink sponsor and you give $100,000 to a team, and then suddenly that team, one of their players that's like basically a K-pop idol level of fame, is benched for a guy that nobody knows and doesn't have a following. They're like, well, that's not $100,000 deal anymore. Like, we got to renegotiate that. And then Joe Mar's like, oh shit. All right, put back in the face, right? You know, like that screams that type of situation. I don't know. I'm not privy to the information, but yeah.
Yeah, but for the other teams, hey guys, you know, there's a good ADC out there. T1 trained, T1 approved, you know, maybe offers should be made to
what North American organization can ruin him in summer? That's the real question.
Lions.
Oh God!
They're,
no,
I think they're
no. That's even worse.
Are you ready for the one, the only Dignitas Smash?
Oh shit!
I
would actually be kind of down for that.
If Dignitas Smash happens, I will watch that for 3 weeks and then probably stop watching League of Legends.
Oh wait, don't watch. They have the import slot. I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
Oh shit, they do. They only have Kanye in the mid lane. Yep. Yeah, they don't have an import otherwise. Oh,
he'd be the perfect AD carry for Isles.
No.
Are we seriously going to shop Tomo again, though? Like,
that'd be... God, honestly, no. I think if we're talking real chance, it would be Shopify Rebellion. They're a team that theoretically has a budget, and also B-Boy has not been, like, the guy, and they also have...
Best play for that team!
I don't think he's Smash level... Yeah? Huh?
Okay, true, but I don't think, because Revan and B-Boy have a connection. Like, they've been on teams together before, so yeah. I don't think Revan will leave B-Boy to try. Like, this team's actually built around B-Boy, so.
Okay, fair. It well, then it's Lion. Really work get out, Henna. Hello, Smash.
The three teams that you think of looking to make that big sort of impact just can't, because FlyQuest and Team Liquid would both take their current AD carry over Smash. A, because they're very confident in them, and also residents and branding.
Yep.
And Cloud9 already has two imports, so they can't.
Yeah, I mean, and they just got Loki, and yeah, I don't exactly. See that changing.
Guys, hear me out. Team Liquid's got the budget. There's a player they could replace, which has an import slot.
Oomty. But put Smash in the jungle. You're right.
Just make him play Kindred.
I hate it here. I hate it here so much. I swear.
All right. Well, let's move on to now, actually what the thing, episode guys, proper.
This is what we were missing. This is why SK benched Rahel. They're getting Smash.
Oh shit. Wait a minute. Yeah, we've been talking LTA North. What if it's LEC that picks him up? Noah, your days are also numbered. Damn.
Why?
All right. Well, that's going to do it for global news. We don't have Mr. Mazel PL on the cast to talk about what's going on in the LPL. I know that their season has already started, but hopefully next week on the episode, he can catch us up on what's going on over there. But for now, we're going to be moving on to talking about the format updates. Before that, though, if there's any other news pieces that we missed or anything that you want to give your thoughts on, make sure to join the community Discord. You can find a link in the description wherever you are listening. And also, if you want to help support the podcast, you can join our Patreon or check out our merch shop, league-rundown-shop.forthwall.com. I really do. I had the idea, I think it was last week or maybe a week before, of Badger being the, what was it, the LEC hate train, and you're the conductor, and like putting that on a mug. Or something, yeah. So maybe
notorious LEC hater myself would love to be the conductor of that train.
Yep, especially if Smash goes to LEC, that would be hilarious. So
I would hate it here so much.
All right, well, we're going to start off with the LTA North format breakdown, give you all the information that you need to know, because first off, this one's a little more confusing, and second of all, LEC, it just makes more sense because we can segue that into our predictions. So starting off with North America, and after this, RMC, if you can give us the LTA South format update. From my understanding, they're going to be identical, but if I'm incorrect, you can update us on... Okay, cool. Well, then everything that applies for the LTA North format, just also apply that to the South format as well. The biggest change is that we will not have inter-regional competition between both conferences because we each get to send a team to MSI. But there will be EWC implications at some point here that we'll cover. Regular season kicks off not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. That is April 5th and 6th. Surprise, surprise, we're actually going to have a couple of Mondays as well. I don't think the first weekend we will, but by the time we get into kind of like mid-split two, we will have a few super weeks baked into the schedule. So keep your eyes on that. And it's going to be doing the LEC format where instead of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's a Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we get Monday Night League again. I'm actually kind of excited for that. But first off, it's the regular season begins with the air quote positioning phase. That's what it's being called. It is 3 weeks, single round robin, Best of ones. Wah, wah. We are fearless, but we're starting off with best of ones for 3 weeks. But the purpose of this is to seed teams into the next phase, which will be best of threes. And the best reasoning that I've been given for this is that because not every team played each other in the first split, and let's be honest, first split was a bit of a Mickey Mouse split. It wasn't that serious. Two of the teams only got to play two series and then they were out. We didn't have enough confidence to seed teams based on the first split, and we wanted to get into the group phase later. So they said, all right, best of ones for 3 weeks. Everyone gets to play each other once, and then we'll seed based on that. That's a more fair way to do it. Then we go into the group phase. This is also going to be 3 weeks, and there'll be two different groups. Group A will have the first seeded team, the fourth and fifth seeded team, and then the eighth seeded team. And then group B will have the 2, 3, and 6, and 7. I believe that's correct. From what I remember from the video, that's what it was. Yep. But the seeding doesn't matter as much. It's just two different groups, unless anybody has an update for that. Am I right on that, or is that incorrect?
You're right. Yeah, they did the snake draft, basically. So.
Perfect. Yep, snake draft, right? So that's another reason why we're doing the seeding in the best of ones, is so that way we can make our groups relatively balanced, right? But you might notice we're kind of a top three region, so you really want to be that first seed, because then you get the fourth seed in your group, and you don't have to worry about second or third. So that is actually a pretty big incentive to take first seed from the best of ones. But that's going to be, like I said, 3 weeks, and that's also a single round robin within each group, and this one is best of three fearless. Now, week seven is going to be called cross-group play, where the top two teams from each group will fight off against each other. So seed one from group A versus seed two from group B, and then seed one from group B versus seed two from group A will fight for playoff seeding. And then bottom two teams fight for elimination against each other. Again, cross-group play. So the bottom teams will get knocked out, and then six teams will go into playoffs. Those will also all be best of three fearless. And then playoffs are going to be double elimination, and the top six teams will qualify with the top four into the upper bracket and the bottom two into the lower bracket. Winner of playoffs qualifies for MSI, but both finalists will qualify for EWC, which is happening the weekend after MSI concludes. Lot of information. Right there. Like I said, this seems like basically the LEC format, but with a convoluted dial put up to like a 9 or a 10. There's just a lot of things happening here. What you need to mostly take away from this is regular season is a mix of the first half being best of ones just to seed the teams into group stage, which is the second half, best of three fearless. And then there'll be a little cross-group play to determine playoff seeding, and then we have playoffs, which are the exact same as LEC. So hopefully I did a good job of explaining that, and it downloaded into your brain well enough. Any questions from the class now? Love it. Sweet. I knew I did a great job there.
So, LTA South has, there's no cross like North versus South games, right?
There's no cross conference games.
Okay. The only cross conference thing that will be happening is trash talk. That's it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the next cross-conference gameplay will happen for Worlds qualifications teams in summer. Okay. But for Split 2, there is nothing. But on that note, RMC, what is the only difference between LTA North and LTA South format? Because there is one. There's one difference.
I actually don't know what the difference is. Is it not just mirrored?
Only the winner will get MSI and EWC. But across the board, LTA combined will have three seeds for EWC. Two from the north, one from the south. But that's it. That's the only change. So otherwise, keep all that information. If you want to follow the south teams, check it out. RMC, where can they follow along the games? What's the unofficial stream again?
The unofficial stream is twitch.tv/LTASouth.
There we go.
Yeah, and we are there. We will be starting up next weekend as well. Say it's basically the same start dates. The format's the same. So yeah, when LTA North starts, LTA South will start as well.
Perfect. Cool. And we'll give a full LTA North primer next week on the episode with all of our predictions and what to expect from all the teams. And who knows, maybe we will have an update on a Team Liquid roster for that. But that's LTA North. Bickle, what's going on in the LEC? What's that format looking like?
Sure thing. So the LEC actually had their format set up before the season even began. They don't need to make any chances. changes, because coming in, they had already addressed the best of three situation and had it set up for the second season, so they can just cleanly reinsert Fearless Draft like nothing ever changed. So for their regular season, they will be doing a single round robin best of three. Pretty standard. However, what they are doing that's interesting is the LEC is going to be hitting the road for two different weekends.
Yeah.
And instead of their normal host, normal home of Berlin, for two different weeks, they're heading elsewhere. They will be heading to the Madrid Arena when they are hosted by movie star Koi, and where we're going to get absolute chaos. They're heading to Les Arenas in France to be hosted by Casey.
Yes. Yep. It is. That's going to be April 26th and 27th weekend for Madrid, and then May 10th and 11th for the Casey hosting. And oh my God, that crowd's going to be insane, yep. Dude.
And they've already announced the games that will be played those days. It is going to be absolutely amazing. Like the 10th through the 11th is the final week of the season. We get KC versus G2.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a blast to watch. Then they transfer into their playoffs, which in all honesty is it's identical to the one that the LCS that the LTA North has. Because it's kind of their format that the LTA North stole. Double Elim, best of five Fearless, top six teams qualify, top four upper bracket, top two lower, so the top four have double Elim, and the top two seeds will qualify to both MSI and EWC.
Yep. I guess the only difference is that for LTA North, only one team gets to go to MSI. But otherwise, yeah, the exact same format between the two. Yeah, so LEC, I'm really excited for the road shows. Personally, I think that that's something that League needs more of, not less. I know it's a big budget thing typically, but for sure KC is going to get a crowd. And I think that's cool that movie star Koi is also hosting one. Badger, I want to get your thoughts first off on road shows. And then, because you're more of an NA guy, where would you love to see a road show here? If anybody could host one, where would you want it to be? Not, no bias saying just your hometown also.
Oh, you gotta pick damn. Gotta so I can't say Columbus, Ohio. That's crazy.
I don't think that would work.
Damn, that's unfortunate. Anyways, no, I think it's going to be really cool to have the road shows for, especially they chose the two best spots. I mean, the Koi fans are insane, and Casey, you know, your prediction, I guess you also said at the LEC arena when you said that there'd be at least one instance of police intervention, that bold take that you had, like, this was last year, I think, at this point.
That was last year, which I believe I was correct. If the road rumors show, are true.
I think it actually happened too. That's the best part. I think having whoever has the privilege of playing KC in those games probably will end up being like G2 or Fnatic. So let's be honest for a second. They'll save the hype matchups for those weekends. They're basically going to be walking into the most hostile environment, I think, in tier one League of Legends that we've ever seen before.
It's going to be awesome, dude.
It's going to be insane. It's like EuroLeague basketball, they like set off like flares in the stadium. I mean, they probably won't let them set off flares in the stadium, but it's going to be like borderline, like, psychotic, like 27,000 psychotic French people in the crowd just screaming and chanting the entire time. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be a great thing to watch.
Oh, yeah. And I'm Googling. I want to get your thoughts on where you want to in NA next, but I'm Googling it. There's no way that this is the right place. If you just Google Les Arenas or whatever, however you do the inflection, France, this is like an ancient, like, Colosseum looking thing. So I don't think this is right. Does anybody know, link to what it looks like?
There's no arena. Hold on. I'll find some pictures. Give me a sec.
Okay. This one, maybe on Google Images, there's another one that looks a little more modern. I wouldn't be surprised if this was actually it, but like the first bunch that show up, it's like an old timey looking Colosseum. That would be sick if this was real, but there's no way. That would be crazy.
Maybe. don't know.
All right. Well, while we're confirming that, Badger, what would be your dream location for a road show here in North America?
Oh God. Is there one? I mean, just getting it out of the Riot Games Arena would be a good start, honestly.
True. I honestly think one in Mexico City would be really cool.
I was thinking that too, but like,
you have Lions host it.
Yeah,
exactly. Right.
Yeah, Lions host in Mexico. That'd be cool, actually. Yeah, that's a good call.
And then selfishly, I'd say Minneapolis, Minnesota, just because we've never had one there.
We're not allowed to say that. Whatever. That's fine.
Okay. Minneapolis, Minnesota is a little more relevant than Columbus, Ohio. You know,
fuck are you talking about, mate?
You know what? We'll go band for band Midwest later. But for band for
band, we'll have a Midwest.
Just head over to the East Coast.
No, we've had too many on the East Coast. There's I don't way want too many on the East Coast. Boo, boo. We'll just do another one in Texas. Why not?
Go back to Toronto. That'd be hype.
Actually, isn't it happening in Texas for summer finals? Wasn't that the rumor? I don't think that's been confirmed, but I remember seeing somebody talking about that. Unless it is confirmed
I
already.
I haven't seen anybody talking about it, so that might be something that, I mean, is that public knowledge? I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
I don't know. I don't know either. And maybe I should stop speculating things that I could be other
could
documents.
Could be you.
But I'm pretty sure that was like a rumor that went around, if not something that was just in the initial primer already. But who knows? Who knows? Either way, Texas makes sense, right? If it is in Texas for LTA North, because it's like close to the south border. So for any, like, let's say Lions makes it, right? It's going to be a little easier. Although I guess California's not hard either, but we don't want to do another finals in California. Boo. All right. Well, all that is to say, before we move on, any RMC, any confirmation on the venue? Did you find any snooping?
No. When I Googled, I am getting that Coliseum thing. There is a Coliseum arena. Like, it's in Arles, France? I don't know. I don't think this is the right one. But
I don't think that is either, but how cool would that be if that were it? We'll try and get confirmation for maybe next episode, or at least for sure leading into whatever that weekend is. I'm sure LEC will have a lot of news around that. So, but that's all the format breakdown. If you had questions about it, I think LEC, it was mostly set in stone, but LTA North, that was the big confusing thing. Again, Spark Notes, there's three parts to the split. There's the regular positioning phase, best of ones, just to seed teams, and there's the group phase. Then there is the playoffs. So there you go. So that leads us into LEC Week 1. We're kicking things off this Saturday, March 29th, and we're going to have games. It's a super week, so through Monday. Monday, that's the 31st, right, I think? Or is it the 30th? Yeah, 31st. There we go. Oh, I should trust my gut. Either way, we got seven series to cover. That's right. Gone are the days of best of ones in the LEC where we have to give like 15 predictions, man. Now there's only seven to cover. So we're going to run through them, kicking off the split two, as they are calling it, actually spring split over in LEC. We got Fnatic versus GX. Not the craziest one to start off with, I will say. I like it when they have day one first series a banger. We're not going to get that till a little bit later. But Fnatic versus GX, we got Fnatic 2-0s. Holy shit, nobody's got faith in GX. Notably, they did lose Closer and then just picked up Izma. So that was my big reason. Bickle, did you have any other reason, or is it just Fnatic looked good until the end last split?
Fnatic is one of the best teams in Europe. GX is not.
Yeah. And Fnatic did take first in the regular season. I know that was only best of ones round robin, and they didn't look as good in playoffs, but still, yeah, I'm expecting this to be significantly Fnatic favored. Up next, though, we have one that could be a little closer. We have Team Heretics versus Rogue. Now, almost all of us are in agreement with Team Heretics, just barely edging out here. They were slightly better in the regular season last split. But RMC, you actually have Rogue taking it one this time. Do you think that they're just going to be motivated because they might get bought out by Na'Vi? And like,
wait, didn't Rogue win the last time? I thought Rogue's one win last split was against Team Heretics in the first week, the first game. No?
Oh, it was? Oh, wait, you're right.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Okay. So head to head, you think that they can still take it again? Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, it's a very similar circumstance, right? Week one, day one.
And then they did go on an 8-loss streak, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, but they did win. They did win. That was their one win, and they can take it to the bank.
Shit, you're right. Okay, you know what? Fair. I'll give it to you there. I'll give it to you there. I still just have like zero faith in this Rogue roster, man. Oh my God, Larson is just at all-time lows, and it just never came together for them. So I still have Team Heretics, but next up is G2 versus Koi. And this one, I think arguably should be the most fun game from this weekend. This would be my match of the week. I got G2 2-0. Bickles got G2 2-0. Badgers got G2 2-1. And RMC yet again saying Koi 2-1. Bickle, I want to hear from you again here. G2 2-0. Despite the fact that them and Movistar Koi finished basically the same record, actually exactly the same record, last split.
One is G2. I refuse to bet against them no matter the results until they have a proven track record of letting people down. And two, I honestly think they come into the season pissed off that they didn't win winter.
Ah.
Oh, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, I like that explanation for sure. And also, I just got to say, Caps has still kind of had JoJo's number. Like, I haven't been super convinced with JoJo against the top echelon of EU mid laners. I think he's better than the bottom of the pack. He's kind of like solid middle pack right now, but he hasn't really proven that he's punching that much higher. Like, I'd put Vladdy above him. I'd put Caps above him. I'd put maybe even, like, Nuke. You know, JoJo's kind of like leading the middle of the pack, but still, I have him below Caps right now, so... but RMC, I want to hear your thoughts because you have M. Koi above G2.
I don't know. Maybe like I'm just out of touch with OEC, but historically, G2 has always been a slow starting team. So I kind of go back to that. Like, it's week one again. Ooh. G2 generally is a slow starter. I think this split, they lost 2 out of 3 of their best of ones to start. It was against KC and what's the other team they played? They beat SK and then BDS. They lost to BDS, which was a middle of the pack team. So. Yeah, I'm kind of taking the angle that I think they're going to have a slow start. And
okay.
Movistar Koi usually, like, they look pretty decent as a whole. Like, I know that you're not super high on JoJo right now, but I still think they're, as a team, a good team. So.
Okay. I respect that. Yeah, the G2 slow start to a split has been relatively consistent. I think it ramps up as the year goes on, but it's still only split 2 right now. So we'll see if they can buck that trend. All right, that's day one, though. I think G2 MCOY, that is the series that I'm going to set my calendar for. Everybody else, I recommend you do the same. I think that's going to be the coolest matchup. Day two does have some pretty cool matchups as well, though. We have Vitality versus GX to start things off. That's not like that high up there, but I still think it's going to be close. I actually think that this match should be entertaining, to say the least. We get a lot of roster swaps in this one, and that's kind of guiding my prediction here. I actually have Vitality 2-1. RMC, you agree with me with a 2-1, but Badger and Bickle both have GX 2-1. And Badger, I'm going to call you out, because you had Vitality original in your predictions until I reminded you that Niski is now the support for Vitality to the Hillisang.
Oh, my bad. I don't believe in Niski replacing Hillisang. My bad, bro.
Okay,
but I'm like sitting there and I'm like, oh, okay, like I'm just like, oh, you know, just standard Vitality.
I mean, there's a lot of mid laners that can go support. Like Karma, yeah. Mel, Silas.
So we get Silas support to kick things off.
I would love to see the first time Niski misses the like flash like magnet storm on Rel. I am going to ping you with the clip on Twitter, don't do it. Kangas.
Don't do it.
I will do it. And I'll be like, is this your king now or some shit? I will do it.
See, it's funny that you say that because Hillisang would 100% do the exact same thing, but he also would be 0-10 while he's doing it. So I actually
My goat.
I actually do have some faith in Niski here. That's what's leading my prediction. Because GX also, I think, made a strict downgrade in jungle. Yzma for closer is not going to be a buff for them. So even though Niski's off roll, RMC's point, not for champion pool, but we have seen historically mid laners be decent supports. Huhi is an example. Busio is an example in North America. I feel like we've even seen that happen in Europe as well. But like it. support is not a high mechanical role, and mid laners will bring in higher mechanics than other supports are expecting. It's just, can they catch the brain up to like shot call and be a leader for the team at that point? So,
and from this was a roaming mid laner too, so I think his brain's already kind of in the right mindset.
Exactly. So, but yeah, I think either way, that's going to be a fun one to watch, because we're going to get a look at Niski for the first time here in support, and we'll see if he's able to do damage against a GX that theoretically should be doing worse than last time around. Up next, though, is the other match that I'm excited for this weekend. McCoy versus KC, the reigning champions versus McCoy, which every time we see Koi, I mean, JoJo's just so exciting to watch. I think this roster is cool across the board anyway. Love watching Merwin top lane, especially in Fearless drafting. He's just got such a fun champ pool. So this one I'm excited for. But I still have KC taking it 2-0. I don't see a reason why the reigning champs shouldn't win this, but I'm hoping that it's close. Badger, you have a KC 2-1. Bickle, you agree with me, KC 2-0. RMC, man. Again, got Koi 2-1. All right, defend yourself.
Okay, so... you know, I had reasons for the other two ones. Mm-hmm. I don't for this. I just want McCoy to win.
This is strict NA bias.
Yeah. Movie star Koi to win. Yeah, this is NA bias. Mizell wasn't here, so I had to do it for him, you know?
You know, respect. Mad respect right there. Bickle, I want to get your thoughts on this match, because this is another one that I think like should be a must-watch for everybody.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be exciting all things around, but... you don't bet against the people that just won the season and went to the finals of an international event, no matter how disappointing that international event was.
Hey, I thought they got a game in that finals. Hell yeah. But yeah, 2-0 for them. I'm in agreement with you there for all the reasons you just gave. Alongside, again, I think this is one of the mid laners that is just better than JoJo. So. Sorry, JoJo. I predicted against him twice. Dude, what a schedule for Koi, by the way. G2, KC for their first two games. Welcome back to the LEC Movie Star Koi. All right, and then for our final day, this is going to be Monday's games. We have BDS versus Rogue. We have BDS across the board for all of us. Rogue is a no-good, stinky team, unless they're playing Heretics, because RMC thinks that they can pull it off again. And then we end the week with Fnatic versus SK, and again we got Fnatic sweeping. Day 3 is a bit of a stinker. Should be relatively one-sided matchups. Even BDS Rogue we expect to kind of be one-sided, but then, you know, Fnatic SK, that's heavily one-sided. So that's it. That's LEC week 1. We're gonna have Professional League of Legends back. I feel like this was a really short offseason. Like, between first stand and now, did we only miss one weekend of games?
Two.
Let's see.
Two weekends.
Two. I think two.
2 weekends of games. Okay.
Unless you consider the LPL having started up, then yes, it's only one. Because they're about a weekend now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, for LEC, only having 2 weeks break since the last time we got to see an LEC team play, I think that's kind of cool. I actually like that. I don't know if other viewers will experience fatigue or anything. Let us know in the community Discord if you think that's not enough time to recover, but I love it because it's like, hey, we're back. Usually between off seasons, we have like 3 episodes of nothing to talk about. But, hey, look at that.
I mean, maybe once it's... what's the gap between MSI and like summer for, I mean, I guess it's,
that's also going to be, I believe, like a 2 week.
MSI is June 27th to July 12th. Holy.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And then EWC is the immediate weekend after that. But I think that's still only like a 1 weekend thing. And then summer split should start up soon after that.
I forgot about EZW being, or EWC being right after MSI.
EZW is such a funny name for that, though. We got to keep that. That's that's amazing.
EZW.
The EZW tournament. Maybe that's the tournament that T1, since they already have their invite, they just don't even, like, they int for the MSI, so they're freshly, like, practiced and rested for that event.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Win it again.
They'll play Guma Yushi for the deal sponsorships.
Ooh, true. Gummo will be their streamer for that event.
That actually would not be a bad idea, business idea for T1, where they get the best of both worlds. They get Gummo's business weight, but they also get Smash to actually start and play the game.
I don't think Gummo would be happy with that deal, but you never know. But let us know if you think any of our takes are crazy for LEC, at least. Again, in the community Discord, you can find a link in the description wherever you are listening. We knew this episode was going to be a little shorter this week just because there wasn't as much to cover. It was mostly just format updates, specifically the LTA North stuff, and then LEC. But RMC, you know what? I'll give you a little platform here. LTA South, are there any cool storylines or narratives or things going on there that people should keep their eyes on, that we should keep our eyes on going into this next split? Because we will have a representative from the South at MSI guaranteed. The number one seed will be going.
Yeah, so there's a lot happening in the South, and not everything has been finalized or locked down yet. The rosters have not been locked. Some teams are still looking for players.
We're pretty close to starting. Have not announced
the players. Yeah, we are, which is kind of fun. But Romer, formerly from NACL, Team Liquid, actually, Challengers, has gone down and is going to be only the fourth starting mid laner for Pain Gaming, who are the traditionals, the oldest team in Brazil. They've only had three mid laners before Romer.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're a team that likes to develop their mid laners, evidently. So that's going to be interesting.
Romer was one of like the best mid laners playing in the NACL for a bit there, yeah. It was him and Quad before Quad got promoted up.
And before he's even in there, Cody from Leviathan was already saying that he's not that good.
Ooh!
Yikes.
Okay, but that's the thing. There was, between Romer and Quad, those were the two best. It felt like there was a tier differential. Like, Quad was S tier, Romer was A tier. And then our other mid laners were like B tier and below. I could imagine that.
That's going to be interesting. I mean, Cody's considered right now the best mid laner in LTA South. So him trash talking is kind of fun. Loud, who, of course, everybody knows because they went to so many international events in a row, they kicked Winsome back off their roster after playing.
Lusum's gone?
Yep. And it's funny who they replaced him with, because they made two changes. They kicked off both their jungler and their support, both Korean players. And they brought back, for the jungle, they brought back an old name who Brazilians love called Shinny. Not too much of a story there. But the support's interesting because they brought back the support they kicked off for Winsome. Red
Oh.
Yeah. So we're right back to it. So that's kind
of
interesting.
Love a good recycling story.
Yep. you can imagine the fans were not super happy about that idea. But, you know, they've made a video. I think they actually just posted the video today or yesterday, this morning or yesterday, about their roster changes and why they did what they did. Istres Estral, who is probably the best team in LTA South, at least the one who was our first seed going to playoffs in first stand, just came back from boot camp in Korea, and they are already trash-talking the other teams. So you love to see it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And, hey, remember, they're the only team to take a game off of a North team, and it was against the team that eventually won. So
True. Who
knows what Istres Estral could have done if they had matched up against like 100 Thieves or Cloud9 or like somebody else.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, best team, second best team in LTA confirmed. Going back to Loud, I forgot to mention something. Loud's team will be the oldest team. I think the average... Oh, I can't remember what their average age is, but I remember, I think they might actually break the record, or they might not be the oldest average age team in the world.
That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to double check those numbers, but I'm pretty sure that's what they said in the video, which is kind of funny. Yeah, but in general, just Brazil is in flux right now. Fluxu is missing a jungler. They're still trying to sort that out. Red has said that might promote their academy jungler into... they're actually one of the only teams with still an academy team after the whole like format switches and promotion and all that. But they might start their academy jungler. Like, there's talks about it. It's unconfirmed, which is hilarious to me. When their jungler has been like their oldest serving player, and they basically built the team around their jungler, and now they might sub him out. So yeah, Brazil's in flux. Leviathan and Istres are the LOA teams are just sitting on site laughing their heads off because it's super funny. Yep.
Yeah, they're probably happy with how things shook out last split, taking first and second seed. So.
And this split's looking even messier, so they look even better.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Okay, honest thought, honest opinion. How scared are you to watch whatever the eventual representative is at MSI?
For LTA North or South?
South.
Okay, here's the thing. Brazilians aren't scared. They're used to it at this point.
True.
So they just want to watch the world burn. But what they're going to be more upset about is whether or not the Brazilian team's put up a fight to even get there. If a Brazilian team gets there, they don't care. They'll be happy no matter what happens. But if Isser Sestral wins again, I think that's going to hurt Brazilians more. But I think Isser Sestral would be a better team to represent us internationally. I genuinely think they're actually like pretty decent. Like they're not that far off the LTA North. Let's put that
yeah.
way. And reminder, they had a guest slot for LTA South.
Yeah. When you told me that was
promo relegation no matter what. Yeah.
The MSI representative playing promo relegation would be fucking hilarious, by the way.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Although the funny thing, in a crazy world where them or Disguised win Worlds, they still have to do promo relegation. Before Worlds, mind you. So there is a world. So I was looking at the schedule. The promo relegation stuff happens before Worlds, which means that Disguised or Isser Sestral theoretically could lose their spot, but still be the world's representative and win Worlds and then not play the next split. There's no way that happens, but how funny would that be? Like, holy shit, dude.
Even before that, the fact that if you can win your own split and still potentially get relegated right after winning your own split, that's right. Hilarious.
Yep. Oh, my God. Oh, League of Legends, man. You got to love it. Well, and speaking of, you got to love everybody listening along here. That's going to do it for this episode. I hope we could cover at least a little bit of the South stuff before closing out. But this
Wait,
was basically just.
Can I drop a fun fact about Champions 2012?
All right. Only if you, after dropping the fun fact, explain how many stars the listeners should leave us.
So. Yes, I can do that. So they invited all these teams over. If CLG EU would have been able to qualify through the Korean Gauntlet, they would have been the second seed in the Korean Gauntlet, even despite playing one tournament in Korea, and could have potentially qualified through Korea if they didn't have enough circuit points to qualify in Europe. So
that is a random fact.
That
wow.
is a random
Notable
fact.
Korean representative, CLG.
Notable yep. Korean representative, CLG.
EU.
And in that tournament, they had five teams that would play in the gauntlet format, which is how many stars that you should give us this podcast because our wonderful tangents and whatnot. So.
Hell yeah, you brought it all together. Well done. Well done. Definitely worth the side tangent.
It wasn't. If you're still listening at this point, I'm impressed, honestly. I'm not going to lie.
True. True, true, true. Well, speaking of everybody listening, thank you so much for your time. Thank you, everybody here on the pod, for taking time out of their weeks to chat League of Legends. If there's one thing that you truly take away from the end of this episode, it's not the teams, it's not the schedule, it's not our predictions, it's this message. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Peace.